Your Bibles with you this evening. Do you turn in your Bibles this evening to Luke chapter number 12? Luke chapter number 12, we're going to read from the verse number 13. Excuse me. Luke chapter 12. We'll read from verse number 13 down to the verse number 21. Familiar passage of Scripture. But I pray the Lord will speak to your heart this evening. If you're unsaved in a meeting or a backslidden state, I want you to take heed of these words this evening. And I know sometimes when a preacher says that, then you start to maybe go into a mode where you try to not listen. And I pray the Lord will make you listen to the Word of God this evening. Luke chapter 12, read with us the Scriptures, in the verse number 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who hath made me judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Amen. May trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word for his worthy name. So let's just pray. Father in heaven, we come to the preaching of thy word this night. We pray that thou would bless it. Thou would stand at this preacher's elbow and thou would touch these mumbling lips, that thou should give us help. O Lord, that thou should be, O Lord, our help and a very present help in this time of need, Lord, for those that are listening. That they would know that there is a word in season for them. For those that try not to listen, we pray, O God, that thou would touch their hearts, challenge them of their sin or their backslidden state, and draw them unto salvation in Christ. Father, we leave this meeting in thy hands. We give over the rest of the meeting to thee. We pray that thou would use it and bless it for thy name's sake. Amen. We have in this portion of Scripture a rich man. And he is a rich fool, the Scriptures call him. And if I could this evening, and in one way this is a good way and a good thing, but in another way it's maybe not. I really haven't got any points this evening. And sometimes you can say, well, I've got two, three, or four, and you say, well, I'll wait till the fourth one, and then I'll know he's near the end. Well, this could mean that I'm about to finish early, or it could mean that the message is going to go on. But either way, I want you to listen, because here in this, I want to ask you a question this evening. Where do you lay up your treasures? Where do you lay up your treasures? If you can't answer that question, then I want to tell you that it's time you got saved. For I thought of the verse in James chapter 4 as I was sitting today and thinking of the Keshe Mission, of course, and my own. I thought of these words and thinking of them, and you know, time is short. There's a time to live. There's a time to be born into this old world. There's a time to grow up, and there's a time to die. And the reality is that each one of us, no matter what age we are, if you go to the local graveyard, you'll find your age there. I think the last time, maybe it wasn't the last time I was here, well, I said to you, but if I didn't, this time last year, as I was speaking to Pat and Rob this afternoon, I'm saying this time last year, or in May time last year, I lost a nephew 13 years of age. Do you know the day that we were, the day before we had a great night, or 2 days before we had a great night, all the cousins, all the nephews, and all the my nephews and all my brother-in-laws, etc., we all had a day out together. And we didn't know that 2 days later that Jordan would pass from this life unto eternity. The reality is that we have a time for being born. It's a time for death. There's not one of us that know the day in which we leave this old earth. And I'm going to go away from my notes a lot this evening, because I believe the Lord is leading and guiding in this direction to speak on. You know, we have a time, but people don't often think about death. One of the saddest things as a preacher, as I see, and as whenever I was assistant in Cookstown, I helped out and officiated in 6 funerals. Since I've been to Carrick, I've took part in one of them and took the other one myself, the last one being 2 days ago. You know, the ages have all differed. I've been, the last 3 funerals I've been, and all in Carrickfergus area, 73, 53, and 63. But each one of them were unexpected. Each one of them were unexpected. I think of the very last one. Health-wise, he was fine. Last Saturday night, he took ill, and the Sabbath morning, he went out into God's eternity. There was no telephone call to say, well, here, tell my family that I'm not too well. No. Within a moment, out into God's eternity. And where do you lay your treasures up? Where do you lay your treasures up for God? For the world? Or what is it that you lay your treasures up on this old earth? You see, people, when they come to a funeral, and yes, they hear the message, and they shake their hands with the preacher, and they shake their hands with the family circle, and they shake it, and they're sad, and they're weary, and they feel for the family circle, but 1 or 2 days later, they leave the home, and they leave the family, and they go back to normal, and their thoughts are no longer regarding the death of a family, of a member, or a friend, or a neighbor's family. But those that are left behind, and that family, they mourn. You know what's in those days, and his family's come to a preacher, and they say, preacher, where is he? Where is he? Where is she? It's those times where we look at the life which they lived. To live the life of, and know that they've been born again, and they live the life of salvation through Christ alone. Then you can turn with a tearful eye to a family member and say to them, treasures in heaven. One of the worst things that we could ever say is, I don't know. But he's a good person, or she's a good person. And this evening, as we think, and I want to go through these verses, but thinking of this man, but thinking of you as well. Something happened to you this night, where would you be? Would the people around about you in this church this evening, would they be able to say, well, I remember the day when that person got saved? And they said, God, I want my treasure in heaven. Or where would you be? You say, preacher, that's a morbid way to start off your sermon. Maybe you think it is, but it's reality. The Bible tells us, it's appointed unto man wants to die. But after this, the judgment. And I want no person gathered here to be quoted like this man. Because the Bible says, the rich fool, thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, as I preach each week, as I go around doors, as I talk to people, for those that say no or reject, you know, I go with a heart of love. Preach with a heart that you would be saved. But preachers preach with weary hearts when they see people walk out that door. And that could be the night of no hope. And that's why this evening, as we look at this passage, why I want you to have a hope in Christ Jesus. Because the hope in Christ Jesus and treasures there in heaven. We don't go to heaven just because of the treasures. I know one day I'll have a mansion in the sky. If it keeps going through all the versions, I'll soon have a wee box room somewhere else. I'm thankful to the Lord. Scriptures tells me in the scriptures the closest we have to the old languages, the Greek and the Hebrew, Aramaic. We have, it tells us that we have a mansion in heaven. And God tells me that one day I'll walk across streets of gold. Have a river growing through the streets of gold and through heaven. Pearly gates. Presence of God. A crown upon my head which I'll cast at the feet of Jesus and say, I'm unworthy to receive it. And in that day, we'll be perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Do you know why? Because on that day, I'll be like Him. What about you? Treasures on earth today is I want the best car I can have. I want the best house. The best girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife. The one with the most money. Maybe that'll do. But those riches are only for a moment and they help. And for those that are able to make such money, all power to them. But it's only for a moment. You know what the Bible tells us about this rich man? It tells us at the very end. We read it in verse number 20. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Seeing it was gone, who shall they be? See, they can't take them with you. I heard an interesting thing the other day. It was actually from an unsaved man. At that funeral I was taking part in. He says, people say we can take nothing with you. He says, I don't think that's right. Because my brother, he says, took Jesus Christ with him. You know, the saint of God dies and they go to be with Christ. Now they're in harmony with the Savior forever. In eternity we shall rejoice in him. But this man wouldn't. What about you? See, people often think of the Word of God and they say, well, one day, well, you tell me I'm going to meet my Maker. They say, one day I'm going to be judged for my sins, but so what? So what? And that's just going to be a judgment. But they don't know anything about the second death. Because on that day you'll be cast aside. And you'll be, as it were, in the human terms, sent packing into eternity, which will be a second death. If ever there's a way, that's Christ. You know, I want to urge you to stop deluding yourself with something that you're going to stand before God and tell Him what's what. I want you to stop deluding yourself. That makes you think you're okay. You know, as I was thinking of this scripture, I was just thinking of the book of Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Prepare, make ready for heaven. Make ready. That's prepare us. It is for the making ready. And if we have to prepare, if we have to make ready, then we need to get right before God. There has to be something done. If it wasn't at making ready, why did Jesus Christ come into this earth? You know, as we think of this passage, we think of the brevity of such things. Time is short. You know, we're not promised tomorrow. You know, Scripture does indicate that 70 years, but the Bible doesn't promise you 70 years. Doesn't promise us. But there will be a time for death. The Bible says, but after this. You know, we will have a time. And in that day, you'll know where your treasures have been. You'll know where your treasures have been. You see, man or woman or woman start off a little children. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble or full of sin. Sin entered into our hearts, and from that moment we're sinful people. But yet God says, you must be born again. Tonight, I thank you, as I think of these things, you know, I've only lived a short time on this earth. Some might say it's a little longer than others, but in my eyes, I've lived a short time on this earth, but I've learned a number of things. I've learned that time's going very quickly. The Bible tells us so. It's like a vapor. I've learned that when those people that have left this earth before me, I've learned I miss them. That means they're gone. I've learned that this world is changing, not always for the better, but it's still changing. And as a father, I've learned that I'm not in control of everything, although I'd like to be. Not in control. Something else I've learned is that I make mistakes. Just like you do. But I've learned also that God's made me. And I've learned I needed salvation. That time is short. No matter how old you are, we find today young people say the same. Time's gone so quickly. Once we're told you've got 2 months off for a summertime. And so it seems so much that the summertime's gone so quickly. You've got so much time for this, but yet time comes and time goes, and this day even has gone so quick that here we are in the evening service already, and time has gone so short. And we come to the close and yet another Sabbath day, and it's coming so short, yet we think we're okay. Time is short. You've never been saved. You're still outside of Christ. Your treasures are on this earth. We don't know when we're going to leave it. We're not getting any younger. If I'm honest, if you die in your sin, the Bible says you're lost. If we look down this passage today, this rich man, he too had a mindset that he'd live forever. I'm going to live a long, long life. I'm not going to be cut down by anything. I'm going to be building up. My life's going to be healthy. My life's going to be long. It's going to be strong. And the world may not be strong around me, but I'll be strong. And the world may not be healthy, but I'll be healthy. And the Bible tells us that this man lived a healthy and good life. And his crops were good crops that the Lord had blessed him with, good ground to be for the farm and to be able to lay his crops upon. And it's plentiful. It's plentiful himself. And he's a rich man, as the Bible tells us that He tells us that there was a rich man. And it tells there, verse 18, he said, "This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, for there will I bestow my fruits and my goods." And you know, he had a want for nothing. His treasures were built up on this earth. He had enabled himself to be bigger than others around about him. He would pull down his barns. He would build bigger. He would have the opportunity to do what he wanted to do. His barns were full. Full as they possibly ever could be full. And I'm sure he said, I will live the life. And this man intended to press on. Build, I'll knock them down. I'll build them up. I'll be what I want to be. I'll build bigger. Build bigger. You see, there was something about this man. Yes, he was rich. Yes, he could do what he wanted. Yes, he had many crops and the buildings and barns were going to be bigger. But this man didn't expect his life to stop. The scripture doesn't tell us the age of this man. But he had confidence in his own abilities. He had confidence in things that he would do. And I will build greater barns. I'll do these things. I don't care what others say. And there's so many today that say, I don't care what others say. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what my mom or dad says. I don't care what my brother say or my son or my daughter says. I don't care about this Jesus. As long as I can live my life as I want to live, sure, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. But this man, from being a moment of a man who had many crops, this man had been in a moment who had many things. He didn't know the days ahead. You see, he didn't know what the future may hold. But thank God we know. He holds it in his hands. You know, this rich man, as I said, didn't know what was round the corner. And he gained wealth. He gained bigger barns. I'm sure he had many servants. He gained much things on the earth and much treasures on this earth, and it enabled him to buy bigger barns and buy things that will help him in the rich life which he was living on. And this rich man was becoming richer and richer. And just to clarify, as I said, it's okay to have money. But it's the love of money. And money, the love of it is the root of all evil. But one thing I want to say to you this evening is that, do you know this rich man? It wasn't his money that condemned him. And many people say that he's condemned because of his love for money. It wasn't his money that condemned him. It was his sin. It was his sin. For not only did he love his riches or have his riches, but he had plenty of times on his hands. I'm going to build. I'm going to do. He had so much time to think of other things. Other things. What could I do now? What shall I do? That was his question. What shall I do? Let us build. Let us make more treasures upon the earth. You know, a number of months ago, I was speaking to a rich man. He has many millions of his own. And he told me something surprising. He says, you know, it's one of the hardest things to do is to make your first million. After that, it's very easy. And I asked him, well, how do you do it? He didn't tell me the secret. You know, that's the reality. And this man, I'm sure he struggled in his life. But he built up his barns and he said, I'll build more. I want to be richer. I need more. I've done well for myself. I've done well for those which know me. And I've received a good harvest. And all the farmers want to receive a good harvest, don't we? And that's why I believe we should pray for the farmers as well. But it was as if this man was comfortable in everything. And he says, what shall I do? And I think this man had so much money that it was burning a hole in his pocket. He said, let's just build. Let's build. Let's build these things up. He's received that good harvest, as I said. And they tell us there in the scripture that brought forth plentiful there in verse number 16. But this is why. Here this man begins to think of himself. And this is why Jesus brings it to our attention. Because of his sin. And this is why Jesus brings it to for us that we would have consideration. Because he seeks here to clarify the position with the people that were there regarding inheritance. And you can read that for yourself there in verse number 13 as we read there earlier in the scripture. But this man, time was going so quickly. And time is short. His time is short. I wonder, did this rich man ever think about how long he had to live on this earth? I wonder, did he ever consider the things of Jesus Christ? See, this man had big plans for himself. Big plans. But he should have been taken day at a time. See, he's making big plans for the future. His life, his situation was all mapped out before him. This is what I shall do. But weren't we reminded earlier when I read that scripture? In James 4, what is life? It is a but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. You know if you're unsaved or not this evening. You know. And God knows. I want to ask you, have you made big plans for the future? You made plans for what you want to do. But those big plans include God. Do they include God? Or do they include you? You know this preacher, this rich man, he was building big. He wanted a feast. Well, his message here was, I want to prosper in God. No, it wasn't. It was he wanted to prosper in his own ways. But you know one thing I want to point out to you, and I want you to read these verses with me. But this man never considers the things of God. But he wants to think of himself. See, where do you read that, preacher? Look at verse 17, please, with me. And you're going to read all these things too with me. It says in verse 17, it tells us, and he thought to himself, saying, here it is, what shall I do? Is God in there? No. What shall I do? He thinks of himself. And then we look on in these verses. It says in verse 17, what shall I do? Secondly, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Because I have no room. Then he says in the verse 18, this will I do. And then he says further, I will pull down my barns. My barns. I'll pull down my barns and make it greater. And then he says in verse 18 or 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Six times this man says the word I in these verses. You can check them for yourselves and you'll find them. What shall I do? Because I have no room. This will I do. I will pull down. I will pull down my barns and make greater. I will say to my soul six times. We all know the word of God tells us that the number seven is the number of perfection. You know what the perfect God says to this man? Thy fool. Thy fool. You see, Christ is no fool. Christ says you've been fooling around for so long. Thy fool. You know all the gold and silver this man had accumulated all his life? Ended up with nothing. But an eternity, a
of damnation, hell. God says to this rich man, thou fool, you've stored up your treasures on earth. Then he says, verse 20, he says, the destiny is mapped out for this man. Because he says, thy soul shall be required of thee. And that night this man would die. And that night he would be lost and go out into eternity. And he had lived a full life. And as away as he thought he would. But that night, all changed. Because he went to being the richest man in the valley to the richest fool in the valley. He became a wretched pauper. And his soul was required of him, and that night in hell he had nothing. Let me ask you, what about you? What about you? God said, thou fool. Verse 20. Maybe you say to God, I'll get saved some other night. That'll be the night I'll get right before God. Don't worry, preacher, I'll get right before God when I want to. Just give me a little more time. I was speaking to a man the other day. You know what his daughter said to him a number of years ago when he got saved? Daddy, I'll get saved when I'm 40, just like you did. That girl is 43 years today and she's still not saved. What about you? Say, I'm leaving it to another night, preacher. But what if God's speaking to you this night? But what if God is speaking to you? Will you say, God, I want to wait a little longer. I want to do my sin. Sure, my sin's good enough. Just give me a little bit more time. I need to cheat. I need to deceive. I need to do all these things. And if you need more period of time, well, God turns up and God says, thou fool. And on that night, God took this man out of the world. And where is he? For God says, a rich man. He says he's making him aware. And this is something we should listen to. Because God makes people aware of heaven. And God says to this man, but God said to him, God spoke. And God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Shall be required. But you know, God's not required to tell you. But God told him this night. But even when God told him, there's nothing done. You know, we're all given an appointed time today. But we need to be ready for it. Maybe at this point you don't believe in God. At this point I have no time for God. No time. But let me tell you, if you don't get saved, you'll have time for God. For in your death, you'll receive the wrath of God. Wrath, sinful death. The unfortunate thing is that this man was ignorant to the word of God, and so are you. You're rejecting what God says, and God proclaims that you need to be saved, but you'll try something else. And you're trying something else, and you're interested in other things and not interested in the things of God. And all it's doing is leading in the way of sin. People are distracting you. The truth's not in you. And it's as if whenever the word begins to challenge you, that the old devil sifts it away. But you know what God says? I fool. You see, every one of us commits sins. In the moment when we're sinful, God comes and convicts us. I pray the word of God affect you. You know, the word of God tells us, it says, what is your life? What is your life? Where are your treasures? Heaven See, we don't know. When we make plans for the future, we don't know what tomorrow will hold within us. As I said, no matter what it is, so many people are making big plans, but God's no part of them. Yet it's God who makes us. God who gives us breath in our bodies. But we say, no God. No God. You know, this evening, if you're not saved, you don't know anything about God, you've never received Him, I want to ask you just one wee brief question, and we're going to close very soon. Where's your life leading you to? You know, I had a woman that spoke to me the other day, and she says, I don't believe in those things. Thankfully, I was able to respond. He says, well, so I was in the same boat one time in my life too. But here I stand. Called of God to preach Christ crucified, to be truthful to men and women and young people, to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because this rich man was told he's a fool. May the devil not fool you any longer. Let us say to the devil this evening, thou fool, today, if you hear that is God's voice, harden not your hearts. You see, time is short. It seems that every day it's getting shorter. It's getting shorter. I urge you to use your time wisely. Use it wisely. And if you're not saved, get saved tonight. See, you can do like the rich man and you could say, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God says you're not saved. You need to come. Will you not come to God this evening? Will you not come to Him? As we read, we sang that hymn. It says, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast. The die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. That's what this preacher urges you, to be in time. As I said already, it's appointed unto man wants to die. Where's your treasures? I pray that you'll make your treasures in heaven. That'll not be what points you to want to be there. But because the Lord has spoken, because you want Him to save you, He says He'll save you now.